1 these years, but according to my word. And so the rain stops, and then a famine comes, and God directs him to this brook in the first 7 verses of the chapter, and God provides for him with water there at the brook, and then the ravens come and they bring him food. But eventually God allows the brook to dry up because he's moving Elijah to a different place. And so in verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the chance that we have to spend time again in your word. And we're thankful that the Holy Spirit teaches us and gives us understanding. And so we pray that you would work a work in our hearts this morning that only you can do. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. They say you shouldn't get in between a mama bear and her cubs, right? You're out in the woods and you see a bear cub. They're like, you stay away from that, right? I think it's a little more universal than that. I think you just shouldn't get in between any mom and her kids. I don't think it's just bears, right? I think it's humans as well. In June of 2016 in Colorado, a mom heard her 5-year-old son screaming in the front yard, and she goes out to find a mountain lion attacking her son. She runs over there and pries the thing's mouth open, pulls her son out, and carries him back in the house, and the lion ran off. I'm like, you don't get it. Like, even a mountain lion shouldn't get between a mom and her kids. In 2021, August 2021 in California, a mountain lion attacked a boy who was outside his home. The mom comes running out of that house and punched the lion until it ran away. She just hit it. Started punching that thing until it finally left. Here's one a little closer to home. 2022 in Ashford, Connecticut, which is a little north of Willimantic. A little kindergartner was out on the porch waiting for the bus, and a raccoon attacked. I don't know if we have mountain lions, but here we have raccoons, right? So a raccoon attacked this little girl, and the mom came out of the house, grabbed that raccoon by the back of the neck, peeled it off her daughter, chucked it out into the yard, and they went back in the house. I'm telling you, don't get in between a mom and her kids. Like, moms care, right? Moms care about their kids. And I think God has gifted moms with like a real protectiveness for their children. And moms see dangers like the dads, I think, we don't always recognize. But moms have that sense, you know? If you're like out at a grocery store, they're like concerned about germs on the handles of the cart. And they're like, "Kids, get your mouth off the cart." Right? Because they care about those things. They recognize that. They care about like strangers and crowds. And boy, moms have all of those thoughts in their head when they're out and about with their kids that sometimes dads were just kind of, you know, oblivious to, right? But moms have that real protectiveness, and they see they're able to look ahead and plan for things. Like moms, they're always like having to get the next size clothes for their kids when they're grown up. Like having to plan ahead for that. Having to plan ahead for, okay, it's coming up on summer. We need to get the summer clothes out, put the winter clothes away, and the next size shoes and diapers and all of those things. Like, this is what moms do, right? They're always planning and taking care of their kids. They've always got like all of these thoughts and plans that they've got for their children, they're always considering what's best for their kids. And that's not always easy, right? Because sometimes kids don't want what's best for them, and it can be difficult, right? And you face those battles, you fight those battles, when many times it'd just be easier to let them go. You know, be like, it's fine if they wear, you know, whatever, right? If their pants are way too short. But no, you like go through all of that and fight all of those battles. And kids don't always recognize the amount of love and care that their moms have for them. And one day they will, right? One day they'll grow up and look back, go, wow, I'm thankful for my mom who did all of these things for me. But you know how it is, right? A lot of times when they're growing up, there's those battles that they fight against. And for them, it feels like nagging, right? Or like you're constantly like keeping them from playing. And you're the one who always has to be the one who says no. And you know, you can't enjoy this. And there's reasons for that that they don't understand. Well, that's the heart of a mother who just cares and is protective and wanting the best for their children. And I see that here in 1 Kings chapter 17 with this widow woman and her son, the one son that she had. And here she is in a horrible situation, doing her best for her son. We know there's no rain, so there's this famine that's going on. And this mother is in this position of she has very little left. This is going to be the last meal for her and her son. And then she goes, and then we're going to die because I don't know what else to do in this situation. She's got just a little oil and a little meal. That's all she's got. I would assume probably they've been rationing for a while. They'd been like scrimping through the food and eating as little as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if she's been going without in order to give enough for her son. All right, we don't have all those details, but you kind of put yourself in there and go, I wouldn't be surprised if this is what she was doing for her son. She was doing her absolute best to take care of her son. And I want to learn two lessons from her this morning. What it means to really care for someone and how as mothers, or even if we expand beyond that as parents or really anyone in a relationship, how we can do what's best for someone else. But how moms can do what's best for their kids. And approaching this from a spiritual, biblical, Christian perspective, caring for the soul of our children and doing what's best for them in their relationship with the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says we need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, Jesus, when he was a young boy, increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And as we look to do that, and as we look to even care for our children that have grown up and that are older, two lessons we can learn. Here's the first lesson. In chapter 17 and verse 10, down through verse 12, the first lesson is this. We have to realize that it doesn't all depend on us. It doesn't all depend on you. So verse 10, he, that's Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Realizing that it doesn't all depend on you. How many moms have said, listen, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done, right? I think I've probably heard Erica say that. And boy, you're 100% correct. You know, this is the way it is, right? If you look at it and go, well, if I don't do it, then it's not going to get done. Some of you, not Erica, but somebody else should do an experiment where you go in and take pictures of your house, right? Take pictures of the living room and the kitchen, like the bathroom, the bedrooms. Just take pictures and then just leave it for a week, right? You don't do anything. No dishes, no laundry, no cleaning. And then after a week, you take some after photos and then you just compare and see the difference. This is why I said anybody but Erica can go ahead and do this, right? there's going to be a really big difference. It's going to be a mess, right? Because, hey, if moms don't do it, then a lot of things aren't going to get done. Moms, wives, they do so much, right? So much of the stuff that gets done around the house for the kids, for the parents, for the dad, and all of that is done by the mom. But what's hard is when you come to a place where you feel like you can't do enough, or that all you are doing isn't enough. For this mom, she got to this point where she had, whatever she had been doing, she looked at it and go, it's just not going to be enough. Like, in the most serious way, she had done everything she could, but it wasn't enough. She came down to this point where everything she could do now was just not going to do anything more. It was at the end. There was nothing left for her to do. But in a time when she found that she couldn't do it all, she couldn't do enough, she found that God was able, that God would do it all for her, that it didn't all depend on her. And I know that as a parent, it doesn't take very long before you feel helpless as a parent, like with your kids. Kids, when they're really little, one of the things they love is stairs for whatever reason, you know? And so you're like, you can't go down the stairs, you can't go up the stairs, or you're going to hurt yourself. And it would be ideal if you could take that child to the stairs and sit them down and say, listen, these stairs are dangerous. If you go up, you're going to fall down. If you're at the top, you're just going to fall down the stairs. And you say, I need you to stay away from the stairs. If you need to go up or down, you come and get me, tap me on the leg, and we'll go do the stairs together. And they look at you with a face full of understanding and appreciation, and they never go near the stairs again. We're like, this is how it's going to work, right? We're just going to talk to them. You have that chat with them. You turn around and immediately they head right for the stairs. This is what they do, right? And then, you know, so you try and train them and you teach them, but it's like you turn around and you look back and they're sitting halfway up the stairs and you go, why are you on the stairs when I've told you not to? And you find out that they've got a mind of their own and they've got a will of their own, that they're going to do what they want to do. And you get to the point where you go, I can't make them be who they're supposed to be. As hard as I try and as much as we teach them and discipline and all of that, right? You get to the point where you go, I can't make them. I can't force them to be obedient and to do what's right and to be who they're supposed to be. We want our kids to be godly kids. We want to see all of the fruit of the Spirit in them, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and all of those attributes. That's what we're looking for in our children. But I don't know about you, but has anyone found that, like, is there like a certain speech I'm supposed to say? Like a certain formula of what I'm supposed to say to kids that then they do what's right? Or like, is there like an age limit that they get to and all of a sudden everything changes? I don't know. It's such a struggle. And I think every parent has been there where you go, what are we doing? Like, what is going on? Like, yeah, right? Where we get there and go, why is nothing that we're doing seem to be working? Why is everything a struggle? Why is everything so difficult? It's like we're just trying and it seems like all that we do just isn't enough. And we get to this point where we go, you know what? It's got to be the Lord. It has to be the work of the Lord in their life. Because all we do amounts to nothing without the work of God. And we then take them and we hand them over to the Lord and we trust God with them. But we get to the point where we realize it doesn't all depend upon us. It depends upon God. And that's this place of faith where we have to live as parents. We can't do it all, and thankfully it all doesn't depend upon us. Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And any fruit that will be produced in their life is because they've been sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit in their life. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We have to realize that it's all going to come down to the work of God in them. Now, we know that we have responsibilities and duties and a calling as parents. But 1 Corinthians, well, I want you to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As Paul is talking about his philosophy of presenting the gospel and then working with like these ones that have gotten saved as they grow, and there's a lot of similarities between that and raising kids. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. That's what we have to realize. God's going to do it. God is the one who gives the increase. Look in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Moms bear a real burden of bringing up their kids, sometimes alone, teaching them and training them, raising them to be godly young men and godly young women. That's the burden that they bear. And the Lord said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I thought that's interesting, that he's addressing people that are heavy laden and are laboring. He says, I will give you rest. And the very next thing he says is, take my yoke upon you. I would have said, I will take your yoke upon me. That would make more sense to me, right? That you're heavy laden, I will take it from you, not I will give you something. But his point is, in verse 28 and 29, is that it's not your yoke to bear. It is God's yoke, right? It's his responsibility that we're in there with him. But it's not our yoke that we bear. It's God's. It's his yoke. We take his yoke upon us and we work with him, understanding, though, that it's his responsibility. Faith in God makes the burden lighter for us. It truly does. Independence makes it so much heavier. When we're trying to do everything by ourselves, trying to bear that burden and that responsibility all on ourselves, saying it's all up to me, that makes the burden so much heavier. But when we work with God and we say, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, I'm going to be the person God wants me to be, trusting that God is going to do his work. That dependence and that reliance upon God takes that burden then and gives it to the Lord. And then we walk with him in that. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We do our best. And moms do their best in teaching and training, but they need to do it with the attitude of, it all depends on God. I'm trusting God and trusting my kids in God's hands. And I wonder, back in 1 Kings chapter 17, about this mom here. I wonder if she got to the end and wondered if she had made a mistake along the way, you know? And wondered, maybe I should have moved, right? Maybe I shouldn't have stayed here in Zarephath. Maybe I should have gotten out earlier, right, when I had the chance. Maybe I should have worked harder, saved more money, right? Done something different, right? Made some difference along the way where I would not have ended up where I am. But yet here she was, and whatever mistakes she might have made along the way, God still came through. And God still took care of her and took care of her son. And thankfully, God is greater than all our mistakes, because nobody's perfect. There are no perfect parents who don't make mistakes. But that's why we realize that it all doesn't depend upon us. Not as an excuse for our mistakes, but understanding that God is greater than that, and that God can overcome who we are, and that God can do what we cannot do. And it's important that we come to this realization, understand this lesson that she was taught here, that we do everything we can. And as moms, you pour out your hearts for your kids and you care for them and you do what is best for them. But we understand that when it comes down to it, it has to be God. It has to be that we leave our kids in God's hands, trusting that He will do exactly what is necessary for them. So here's the second lesson. First lesson, realize that it all doesn't depend on you. The second lesson is this. In verses 13 down through verse 16, the lesson is to put God first in everything. Put God first in everything. In verse 13, Elijah comes to her and he says, after she says, we have very little left for a last meal for me and my son. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So Elijah comes to her, and the man of God asks her to make food, but to do it in a very specific order. He said, first you're going to make food for me, and then for you and your family. And this, we know this was a test of her faith. God had everything planned that he was going to take care of all of them. Elijah knew what was going to happen as he goes and asks her to do this. It would not have been faith if she had served herself and her son first and then said, well, let me do that and then I'll see if there's any left. Right? Then I'll see if we have enough left over for you, Elijah. It was faith for her to say, I'm going to obey God first. I'm going to make that the priority and then I'll see what's left. And she made that choice. The best thing for this mom to have done in this situation was for her to put God first and to obey what God had told her to do. The best mother is a godly mother, one who puts God first in everything. Moms always have their priorities for their kids, right? Schoolwork is more important than playtime. Veggies are more important than dessert, right? Coffee, that's just a priority. Right? They got all these priorities, right? Because it's what's best for their kids, right? Making sure they do all of these things and get what is best for them. Kids need to be thankful for parents who have the right priorities and take care of them in that way. And one day I think they'll grow up and realize what they have. But kids should be thankful for a mother who prioritizes the Lord, right? Who puts God first in everything in their life. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaks about priorities here. Things that need to be put first. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He talks about, in verse 31, about taking care of what you eat and what you drink and what you're going to wear. And those are all concerns that moms have for their kids. Right? Making sure that they get what they should be eating, making sure they're staying hydrated, right? Drinking enough. It's getting warm outside. They're going to be playing outside in the sun. You have to make sure they stay hydrated, right? Making sure they have like the appropriate clothing and all of those things. What Jesus is saying is not that you should neglect all of those things. He's not looking at moms and saying, forget it. Don't worry about what your kids eat or what they wear or any of that. He's not preaching the virtue of neglect. What he's saying is that there are priorities that have to be there. And Matthew 6, 31 through 33 is about the order of those priorities. That the Gentiles in verse 32 only sought for the things of this life. That was their only concern, their only priority. But the Lord is saying that godly people, we could say godly mothers, put God first That is the number one priority. Not that they don't do all of these other things, because Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman who takes care of all of those things and does a good job in taking care of her family in all of these different ways. But even Proverbs 31 comes down to the end, and it says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Because that is part of it, and that's the most important part of being a godly mother, is prioritizing God and putting Him first. I'm reminded of when you go on flights and they give you all those safety instructions, right? And they talk about making sure that you have the seatbelt on and the tray in the upright position. They talk about the exits right here and here, whatever. And then like the lights down the side. They give you all of these instructions that probably most people don't pay attention to. But one of the things they say is that if the cabin depressurizes, then those oxygen masks drop down from the ceiling. And they say that when they drop down from the ceiling, the instructions are you put it on yourself first, and then you help someone else out, right? If you have little kids with you, you put your mask on first, tighten the straps, the bag won't inflate, that's fine, right? And then you help your kids. And it's not like they're saying you are more important than your children are, right? If we're going to lose anybody, no, what they're saying is, once you put the mask on yourself, because it puts you in a position where you then are able to help someone else out. And if you put yourself in that position, then you will be aptly able to really help out those people that need it. That's what we're talking about. Making sure that we prioritize for ourselves as parents, for you as mothers, your relationship with the Lord. Because if you're walking with the Lord, and if you are putting God first in your life, it puts you in the place where you can really help other people. When you can really help your kids, and by prioritizing your walk with the Lord, you'll be that godly mother. We'll be those godly parents that we need to be. And if we take care of ourselves spiritually, if we put God first in our own life, we'll be in the perfect place to then help our kids seek the Lord. And if our kids seek the Lord, then they'll be okay. They'll be okay in life if they have seen that example in their parents of putting God first, in going to church, in reading our Bible, in praying, in all of those things. If they see that example in us, that it matters to us, that God matters to us, we'll be in that place where we can really help them. And if they put God first, everything will be okay. So back in 1 Kings chapter 17, here's this woman, this mother. She's a great mom who cares for her son. And speaking to all the moms this morning, I know that you care for your kids. And I want to end with this thought. You care for your kids, and so does God. God cares for your kids. We see Elijah brought to this brook in the beginning of the chapter. And he's just there by himself at this brook being fed and taken care of. And God allows that to change so that he could move Elijah to a place. God brought him to Zarephath, to this one location for this woman and for her son. Because God cared about this little family. God cared about the condition that they were in and what they were going through. You want what's best for your child, and so does God. And in fact, God sent his child to die for your children. God sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to come to this earth for you and for your children. That's what God did. And it's no surprise to any parents that scripture says our kids are sinners. It was no surprise to your parents either, but right, we understand that kids are sinners and that they need salvation, and God understood that. God saw that about every single one of us, and he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us, for you, and for your kids. The gospel is a message of God's love and God's care and what God has done to save us. And what it shows us is how much God cares. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We can put it this way, casting all your kids upon him. For he cares for you and he cares for them, right? Just taking your kids and bringing them to the Lord and saying, I know you care for these kids. I think moms are usually more nervous to be away from their kids than dads are. They probably are more nervous going through that. Because kids, like especially the little ones, they need their mom. You know, I was a bit of a crybaby when I was little. I think now they call it separation anxiety, right? Man, I used to cry every time I was away from mom, right? She's in junior church today, but like I cried anytime I had to go sleep over somebody else's house. Some of you probably remember this about me. I remember crying myself to sleep at the Gadboy's house one night. I don't remember why I was there, but I remember that. It wasn't anything about them. I should point that out. I cried going to nursery all the time. Didn't want to go to nursery. I cried going to kindergarten. You know, I like to say I really cared about my mother a lot, you know, and put it that way. But kids, they need their moms, you know, and moms need their kids, and moms know what those kids need, right? They're like in tune with their kids. They can read their kids like nobody else can. They know what their kids like and what they don't like. They know how to help them when they're feeling upset and how to work with them through their struggles. Like moms know this, right? And moms are there for their kids. Nobody cares for the kids like their mom does. But also nobody cares for your kids like God does. And it's for all those same reasons that we entrust our kids to God's care. It's because God knows them like nobody else knows them. God knows exactly what they need like nobody else knows. God cares for them like nobody else cares for your kids. God wants exactly what is best for them. The best mom is the one who realizes that it doesn't all depend on them. It has to be God. It has to be God who does something in their life. And then who puts God first in all things in their life. They put God first. They make him the priority. I'm not going to ask the moms this morning if they care, because there is absolutely no need to ask that. Instead of what I'm going to ask is, have you entrusted your kids to God's care? Because that's what we need to do. As moms, as dads, as parents, we have to take our kids and really leave them in God's hands. Not that we'll no longer care for them, because that'll never happen, right? As moms, that never changes. But it's this understanding that God can do for them what we cannot do. Coming to that point of recognizing that, of who God is. There is no better place for your kids than to be in God's hands. And this widow woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, when she got to this point where she had nothing left to give, she put her kids in God's hands, her son in God's hands, and she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend all of this food making a cake for the man of God, because that's what he said, trusting that God will take care of us. And we come down to the end of the passage, verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. She trusted herself and her son to God's care, and God took care of everything. God took care of all of their needs. The best place for a child to be is in the hands of a godly mother who then places that child in God's hands. Because we know, as hard as we try and as hard as moms work and as hard as moms care, the only hope that we have for our kids is in God. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the moms that you've given to us. And Lord, the women that care so much for us and for the kids. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them in a special way today. We pray for our kids, Lord, as they grow, that they would grow to know you. But Lord, this morning we want to say how much we trust you. And Lord, that you would help us to trust you more. Lord, we understand that without you we can do nothing, that we need your work in our lives. We need your work in the lives of our kids. And Lord, we take all of the people that we love, Lord, whether they're our kids or whoever, and we trust them to your care, knowing that you care for them and knowing that you are able to and you desire to do what is best for them. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can rely upon you and that we can trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.